imply that somehow he's given up control. But he set up these secondary causes, and what do they do for us? Reliability, right? We can plan. They even display God's glory. I mean, what's in Romans 1? What do we see in the heavens? It displays his wrath, but his invisible attributes, right? His power, his glory even. And so he created that, so not only can even pagan man see that, and I know I told the story before. It's called The Conquest of Mexico, and it's about the conquistadors going into Mexico. But he starts way, way, way back with the Aztec emperors. And so hundreds of years before Columbus arrived, one of the Aztec emperors came to the knowledge there is a God. Now, unfortunately, he never came to know God, but he recognized there's God. And so a different pyramid was built. No human sacrifice, only flowers and fruit. And I find that remarkable. And he did that just from watching the heavens. All right. But anyway, okay, so back to this. So he sets up the secondary causes, this cause and effect, and we see sin's got consequences, right? I steal, I go to jail, family gets impoverished, you know, and on and on and on it goes, right? But we mirror these cause and effect, and pardon me for belaboring this point, but we plan, we measure time, we like order. Some of y'all, I don't, make your bed, right? And that all is reflected in this creation, in this logos. All right, now, with this man's religion, that's out the door, right? Because it's all accidental, it's random, it's chaos, which still boggles my mind how order comes out of chaos. But where did they get morality? I mean, where does morality come from in that kind of system? And if you take it to its logical conclusion, who are we to say Adolf Hitler was a bad guy? I mean, under that system, can you really say that? But instead, we've got this moral order that's built into it. All right, now two words I'm going to run across. Voluntarism and occasionalism. All right, voluntarism. Let's tackle that one first. Will, power, is the fundamental factor. So will and power. That will trumps everything. There's nothing beside it. All right, so is lying, is it wrong because it's inherently wrong or only because God said it's wrong? So which is it? All right, now we covered our God is holy, he's pure. So our God, it's inherently wrong. There is right and wrong. It's not arbitrary and capricious, right? But with voluntarism, it's not so. There is no inherent wrong, right or wrong. It's only what that will and power says is right and wrong. Now, under our system, even selfish people do kind acts, right? And then another thing, every people group, at every time, at every place, agrees there are criminal acts. Murder's wrong, Stealing is wrong. They punish it. Now, they may disagree what is murder. Okay. Well, killing those people, that's not murder. I mean, so there may be disagreements about what constitutes murder, but at the end of the day, even the Arawaks, you know, the people that slaughtered the missionaries, within their tribe, you don't kill each other, right? And so there's moral order, but with will and power, with volunteerism, you don't have that. All right, now, here's what is going on in Islam. So, back about 900 to 1100 is when things really took a left turn. And there was a contest between, and when I say contest, they were struggling for dominance. One school was heavily influenced by Greek thought. They ended up being the losers. The other school were pushing that God is nothing more than will and power. And finally, it culminates this guy named Al-Ghazali. And he wrote the book, The Incoherence of the Philosophers. That Greek thought is silly and, in fact, is putting limitations on Allah. So if you say man can reason, then you just diminished Allah. Because what are they lacking? The Logos. The Logos is gone. They don't have it. All right. Now, with that, things are wrong, not inherently so, only because Allah says they're wrong. He could change his mind. Some guy could claim he's got a word from Allah and issue a fatwa or something. And then the whole moral order can be changed. All right? Now, occasionalism. So we got the primary mover and secondary cause. But if you have pure will and power, you don't have secondary cause. That gravity thing, that's silly. Instead, you must, the creator, or whoever the God is, has got to recreate the universe, each particle, moment by moment. Because he's got to be in absolute control if he's pure will and power. And so he has to will every single atomic particle at every instance of time. Because if you have secondary cause, then he's not all powerful. All right. So now here's the hypocrisy. But if you go over to a Muslim country, they're still making plans. Farmers are still planting based on the season. And so it's silly, but that's the overarching mindset. And hopefully it'll make you help you understand a little bit about what's going on. All right. Now, you'll hear people, the Muslim nations, their contributions to science and technology, algebra, and they contributed a lot to astronomy and invented the magnetic compass. That was all before 1000. Why did it die out? About the time of that contest between the two schools of thought. And then it went into darkness. All right. Now, our God, because we have the Logos, he's, even though he's transcendent and there's no way that we can comprehend him, nonetheless, he's revealed himself. Revealed himself not only in the heavens, but even through his prophets and his apostles, didn't he? And then because we're invited to know him, what does that do to the human spirit? Why do we explore? Why do we ask why? Why do we invent? It all goes back to that logos. The logos is incredibly, just an incredible gift in more ways than we can even fathom. All right, that's what gave birth to science. All right, now here's another curious thing, and this is just a little trivia. In Islam, so if you got this pure will and power, then the Quran has to be pre-existent and not created. It's eternal with Allah, but only in one language, Arabic. And then so it's a miracle, but then here's the funny thing. Why isn't that miracle, why doesn't it transcend languages? And it doesn't. I mean, it's just, that's just a little piece of trivia, but that makes no sense, does it? That somehow you can have this all-powerful God that has this miraculous Quran, but it can't, but any version outside of Arabic is null and void. Can't quote from it. Can't use it. All right, now, the God of Islam, since he's pure will and power, the only thing he wants is to be obeyed. Do the will of the prophet. Now, our God wants to be obeyed, but what are the two great commandments? What's the first one? Yeah, to love. To love God. And what is the second? To love your neighbor. Love and love. What a contrast between the two. Whether it be between Christianity and the religion of man, or Christianity and Islam, or Christianity and whatever other religion, Zen, Buddha, whatever, Hinduism. What a contrast. And both of those quotes that Jesus pulled out were from the Old Testament, weren't they? Back to that God of love and joy in the Old Testament. Now, again, just a little piece of trivia. One of the things it looks like to me, if you want to understand the Muslim mind, pay attention to the Pharisees of the Bible. There's not a dime's worth of difference between them. Legalistic, rules. I mean, even down to the evil woman dragging her out to stone her, but where's the guy? He's nowhere to be found. We're going to blame only the woman, even down to that little detail. But that's what you're seeing. All right. Now here's another deal. If you don't have logos, salvation can only be by merit, good works. And that's true in every religion, right? But try to imagine, how do you measure the good works? I steal $100,000, but Derek only steals $100, which is worse. Well, Derek stole it from a widow with five starving kids that's homeless, and that was the only grocery store money he had. I stole it from Trump. He'll never miss it. Now, which is worse? All right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I donated mine and created an orphanage home. Now where do we are in this? You can't. It makes no sense. It only makes sense only if you think about it in the macro sense, you know, the big picture. But if you actually start asking questions about it, it doesn't work. It gets too convoluted. All right, so then back to the holiness of God. So our God, yes, the triune God is all powerful. But we have the Logos. We have the holiness, which is that purity. So there is a moral order, and there is an order. Joy, happiness. We have that communing. Allah never invites his followers to commune. But what are we going to be included in? You know, that the marriage supper. We're going to be invited into the throne room. We have purpose. And then of course, that overarching love. And so our God truly is set apart, pure, and worthy of worship. Any comments or anything? All right, why don't we close with a word of prayer? And Lord, you truly are magnificent and delightful in every way. And we thank you for revealing yourself. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for how he's opened the door for us, that now we too are pure in your eyes, even though we still live in these vessels of clay with all of our weakness. And yet, we still are able to come to you and to worship you. And we thank you for all these blessings. Amen.